All right, good morning, everyone. We go through this every single time. Good morning, everyone. All right. As always, it's a pleasure to deliver the welcome. They only let me do this once a month, every fifth Sunday. But I want to talk to you guys a little bit about today. Some of you know me, and you know that I'm a curious person by nature. I see things, and I have to know more about it. So every Tuesday and Thursday, I go to the, on my way to work, I notice these people standing outside the courthouse, and they have their little things set up and their pamphlets, and I never talk to the people, but I imagine some sort of religious group, and I'm always just curious about them because I never see anybody stopping, you know? I understand the model, you know, people are at court, they're probably heathens is what they're assuming, and they need to be saved, but nobody ever stops. And I was always been hesitant to go up and approach the people because the last time I did that, I was visited for 2 years by the people. They kept coming back. Persistence. But I haven't asked anybody these questions, but I've just been curious about those people. And it wasn't until a conversation with David that I realized why I was curious. And I was curious because I didn't quite understand the approach. And David shared with me a conversation that he had with someone at an event. And he's talking about Eagles Way, and in his conversation with Eagles Way, he started pointing out all the people in the room that were involved with different things in the city that were members right here at Eagles Way. And it started to click with me. I didn't understand it because it wasn't how we did things. We don't hide behind these walls. We aren't passive in our approach. We're very active. Who we are, we're people that are serving those people in lines at Rushton Hope. We're the people that are serving them at the soup kitchen. You know, we're their lawyers. We're their doctors. We help them when they have issues with their utility bills. we're those people in their lives. So every day they encounter us, they get a chance to see the joy and the light of God. That's who we are here at Eagles Way Church. So if you're here today, you're in a congregation of people that don't hide behind these walls. You're in a congregation of people that get out into the community. We're involved in the community. And we don't just hand you a pamphlet to say, hey, you want to learn about Jesus? No? Okay, have a great day. You want to learn about Jesus? No. We let you see it through us. So I'm thankful to be a part of this congregation. I'm thankful for the example that is set for me every single day by you all. And I just want to take a chance to say thank you. And if you're here, welcome. Stand and worship with us.
Let faith arise. Bye. till my knees hit the ground.
I surrender. I thank you for your presence here in us. And that our creation, you inscripted your spirit into our being. And I love the progression of what we are worshiping you for today. That you are the God of miracles and there is nothing impossible with you. And that you give us everything we need and even more to be like you and to be with you. And it is your love and it is your life that is the driving force. And that brings hope to all of us. And I thank you for not withholding. I thank you that it's always there. Your spirit of peace, of love, of joy, of confidence, of comfort. Every breath is yours, and everything we do is to bring you honor and to share your light with everything around us, God. We love you. Give him your praise this morning.
Your love is Wow. Do y'all have a clue what you have here? Do you have a clue? Sometimes I think we don't. Sometimes I think we just think this happens all the time, you know, that we just, everybody's got this. They don't. What a blessing it is to come and worship God and listen to that. Good stuff. And you're going to be amazed this morning how these songs so fit with what we're going to talk about. Well, we ain't going to talk. We're going to preach. Ain't going to talk. No talking this morning. We're going to do some preaching. Y'all know what preaching is? That's what we're going to do today. Took me a while to even title this message, but even the title of it, you can't teach it. You can't talk it. You got to preach it. Let me give you the title. Protect your passion of being. Protect your passion for being who God says you are and wants you to be. If you are a guest with us this morning, please fill out your cards. And if you haven't been here in a long time, please fill it out so we'll know you're still with us on planet Earth. And if you're a guest, you go by the information booth and you can give them this card and they'll give you a gift. But you're our gift for coming today. That's why we want to give you a gift. You're our gift. All of you are a gift. Everybody brought their gift. You brought yourself. You brought your gift. You brought all that you are. And I think it's just been awesome this year. And we're going to, over the next few weeks, be closing out this paradigm shift theme of the year for being. And we're going to be still talking about grasp. And I just love how you have grasped this. Aren't you just thrilled how I stayed on course all year? Come on. Are you amazed that an ADD guy stayed on the course for a year on being? Preached almost a year on being? I'm proud of myself. I am proud. You just don't know how proud I am. Because it was a challenge at the end of last year when we was talking about it. And they were in the staff meeting. They were encouraging me. Can you do this? I did it. And we're going to continue to do it until we get it more. I'm telling you, you need to protect your passion. Say passion. Say passion. Man, that means everything. Passion's everything. Jet's my I'm going to say my favorite. I got the others here. He's not my favorite. Jet's he's like me, and I'm sorry. He's like me. They say Jet's just like you. And the reason they say that, because Jet, he can't do anything without passion. He can't do anything without this passion of doing it. If he says, let's go get in the hot tub, he says, hot tub. I'd be at the bed, said, Jet, you want to go down to the beach? Let's go to the beach. I mean, he just, everything is with passion. Passion. And it keeps us going. It keeps us going. In Revelation chapter 2, he says, I know all the things you do. I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You've examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will remove your lampstand or remove your light. He's not saying he's going to kill you. He's just saying you're not going to have anything to give. He's just saying that you won't be able to do what you're called to do and to be a light in the world. Be the salt of the earth, that you just light things up. Have you ever seen people who just light up a room when they come in? Well, let me tell you what those kind of people are. They're not boring people. They're full of light and life. because they've kept something burning in. You know, he didn't say you lost your first love. He said you left it. You just left it. But he said if you'll come back and you do certain things, then that light's going to come back. The brightness of that light's going to stay. And people are going to see that light. And when they see that light, they're going to glorify your Father in heaven. And so there's a way that you can do this, and there's a lot of ways, but the main thing to do it, to get it, you got to do something. You know, to worship, you got to worship. To praise, you got to praise. And aren't you glad that these people do it with passion? Aren't you glad they do it with passion? Aren't you glad they act like they like it? I was told years ago, I think my daddy told me, he said, if you don't preach it like you mean it, don't preach it. If you can't preach it like you really believe it, nobody else is going to believe it. If, you know, I wonder sometimes, I go, how do you do what you do 4 days a week, one person after another person coming in and for an hour setting and coaching them and inspiring them? How do you do that? You know how he does that? Passion. That's his passion. It's not just something. It's a passion to do it. Reason I can still preach after 40 years, week after week after week, I have a passion for that. When the passion goes, I go. The passion, it means everything. A passion for the Word of God, a passion for people. There's nothing like a burning passion in your life. And he says, you've got a lot of things going on, Ephesus, but you left something. It's so important. And I want to use the word instead of love is passion. How did he know that they had left their first love? Because they had left their passion. They weren't passionate about what they were doing. Years ago, about 40 something years ago, Barbara and I were sitting in the trailer and we were mapping out our life. We were setting a course. We were making some goals of what we would like to see, what we'd like to have. And when we did, we came across a passage of Scripture. It has been our marriage bond. It has been our glue, if you will. It has been our motivating passion for God. It has meant everything in the world to us. And as we were going about what we would like to have, because Barbara wanted a house, then she wanted another house, then she wanted another house, and we're going to stop with that house, I hope. But anyway, she wanted a house, and so we're reading this scripture. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food, drink, or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in the barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Isn't that a scripture? I thought Jesus would have come up with something deeper than that. Look at the birds, man. Just look at the birds. They're clothed. They're fed. They don't plant. You ever seen a bird out with a hoe digging up a hole? You ever seen a bird out plowing up a garden? But you can see them eating all over the place. Matter of fact, they got some of y'all so trained, y'all feed them. You put your little bird feeders out. And see, they don't need. You got people like you. I knew I was getting older when I got a bird feeder. As soon as I got a bird feeder and started feeding the birds, I looked out my window one day and I said, I'm old. I told Barbara, I said, I'm old. She said, why? I said, I'm feeding the birds. Old people feed birds. That's what they do. They just feed birds. I guess because they ain't got nothing else to do, but we just feed birds. But, you know, anyway, look at the birds. Why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon, all of his glory, was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wild flowers, they are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you, oh, you of little faith. Oh, I got a word for somebody this morning. You give this word to your wife, okay? Because this is a word from the Lord to her. I know she went through this year. She made this commitment not to buy any clothes for a year, right? Now, some of you say, well, that ain't no big deal. That's a big deal. But you tell her that what she did it for was good, but that what God's going to work inside of her, in her life, in clothing her with a graciousness and a beauty and a passion and a compassion for life, it's going to far exceed anything else. Anything else. This is going to so far, far exceed that. So don't worry about these things. Saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Everything you need. You know, I didn't have a lot, but I knew how to buy clothes. I was a clothes hog. Me and Mike Thompson were clothes hogs. We worked to buy clothes. Every weekend, I worked at Big Apple's. I get my check. And on Saturday, I was at the clothing store buying me an outfit for Saturday night. Every week. Matter of fact, the girl who broke up with me, she said, I know everybody thinks you're rich, but I know you're not. And that's one reason she broke up for me, which she knew we weren't going anywhere. I wasn't going to be able to take her where she wanted to go. So anyway, but I dressed like, oh, yeah, I was a clothes hog. So Bob and I got married, and so then a little girl came along, and all of a sudden, you got to buy her clothes. But I always had somebody, and there was this little old lady in the church. And she came up to me one day, and she said, I want to take you shopping. I said, okay. She said, I'm not just shopping. I'm going to keep you clothed nicely for the next several years. And this little old lady bought my clothes. I'm not talking about cheap clothes. She bought me suits. She bought me eyes. She bought me the alligator man shirt. I mean, she kept me dressed to the T. And I really believe one of the reasons of it is because we really believe this scripture. That if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. You ain't got to fret nor worry about those things. And so Barbara and I made a covenant to one another at that table. We're going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I had to learn how to do that. And so the way I learned how to do that was to break it down in a simple way. I'm going to give God the first day of the week because this is his day. And so on a consistent basis, I'm going to give God the first day of the week. That's why we worship the first day of the week, is to get our alignment for the rest of the week. It's first things first. I'm going to give God first consideration. And I have fallen on this one several times, but as a whole, I've kept to it. I'm going to give God first consideration of everything, of decision I make. I'm going to ask him first. Acknowledge him in all of our ways, and he'll direct our path. Third thing I'm going to do, I'm going to give him the first tenth, the first portion of my income. That God, you get in the top. You get in the top ten. It's yours. And because if I give him the ten, he's going to make my 90 go a whole lot further. He's going to, and just taking that as it, let that be how I do this. And I tell you what, where your harp is, your treasure is, your heart is. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. You know, to keep this going, you've got to keep reminding yourself and renewing your mind over and over again about what life's all about. You really do. It's you got to be intentional with it. And so I'm not going to preach you December's new series messages, but I'm going to give you a little bit of it. I'm going to maybe want a little bit of what's going to happen next year. All right, I'll give you a little bit of it. Ready? All right, Luke chapter 14. He says, "Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, 'What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God.'" What a blessing. And Jesus replied with this story: "A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, 'Come to the banquet. Come, the banquet is ready.' But all began to make excuses. One said, 'I've just bought a field, got to go look at it. Excuse me, I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen, and I want to go try them out.'" Who does that? Who buys something before they see it, or buys something before you try it out? Dumb people. Another said, "I now have a wife, so I can't come." Only excuse that was worth anything. That was a good excuse. The others were hogwash. That was a pretty good one. But anyways, he's saying there's people out there who think they don't need it. Y'all didn't get that. There's people out there, they don't think they need this band. Now, I want to tell you how to invite people to church, okay? How many would like to learn how to invite people to church and they will come? Feed them hot dogs on Wednesday night. They'll get them here. No. Somebody said, "What was going on Wednesday night? The parking lot was full. Hot dogs. A hot dog." Let me tell you something. On Sunday mornings, I got something so much greater than a hot dog. We got a banquet table. Now, this is how you need to start inviting people to church. Don't invite them to church. People don't fall for that. You want to go to church with me Sunday morning? No, not really. You don't look very excited about it yourself. Why do I want to go? Well, preacher said invite some people. So anytime you want to come, you know, why don't you come to church? We got some pretty good people there. Bands, they're good. Why don't you just come to church? Oh, but what if you got invited to a banquet? What if you said, "Hey, you want to go to a party?" Oh, heads are lift up, eyes are open up. "Oh, what? You want to go to a party? It's a banquet. Where's it going to be? And where do we live? What is it? Hudson Row. I was thinking about High Falls Road, Dawson Drive, all these other places I live. Hudson Row. We're having a banquet on Sunday morning. Having a banquet. Every Sunday morning, we're having a banquet. And it's filled with food, and it's filled with music, and it's filled with good things because it's a banquet. Now, there's a lot of people out there who think they don't need it, but they do need it. And he said, "You know, we did this. Still, it's not full." He said, "Okay, then go out again into the streets and the alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." He said, "There's still room for more." He said, "Okay, if those who think they have it, but they really don't have it, don't want to come, then go find some people who are really hurting. They'll come. They'll come. You go tell a lame person. You go tell someone that's really hurting that there's help. They'll come. They want to be well." But then he said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and find them so that my house will be full." And when I read that script, I guess it was about a month ago, it just gripped my heart. Because I have heard this preached forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and I never knew what was the country lanes and what are the hedges. I mean, think about it. Here we are in 2016 reading something written 2,000 years ago. He says, "Now go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and find them." What would you do? If I said, okay, I want you to go out into the country lanes, into the hedges. I want you to go. Where were you going? where are you going to go? To Athens? Thank you for that little word, man. Go to Athens to find them between the hedges? He says, I want you to go out further than you've ever reached. I want you to go to the country. I want you to go out further than you've ever gone. And I want you to find the people who are hiding behind the hedges because they're hurting so bad of guilt and shame and a whole lot of other reasons. Let's go find them. And then he said, and he said to urge them. But when he says to, I like the old King James Version better. It says, and compel them. Compel is an irresistible force. In other words, your life is so filled with light that you're irresistible. Irresistible. And it compels them, urges them to come. Urges them to come. Because it's irresistible. It's irresistible. And I just thought about how can I be irresistible? How can I be that? I believe the only way I can be irresistible is to be full of passion. I really do. I believe that I was irresistible to Barbara. I was. Because I was passionate about her. I had to make her irresistible to me and me to her. I was irresistible. I was so awesome that she told me one time, I just love how you drive. She don't remember this, but I do. She don't remember this. I do. How many know? You remember. She says, you drive a car so sexy. I'm thinking. And once she said that, I was cautious how I'm driving. I'm going to be by myself because I know somebody's over there. They think I'm sexy. You drive. But you know, it's funny how it got to a place. Now, you think I'm the worst driver in the world. I said, what? What happened to the passion? What happened to the guy that drove so sexy? And now, my gosh, you just get on to me all the time. Like you don't watch what, but I want to tell you how to, you got passion's everything. Passion, it's where perseverance is going to come from. If you're passionate about something, you're going to be persevering in it. You'll persevere. Passion is your purpose. Passion is your praise. Passion is your appreciation. Passion is your life. And if you do your life with passion, then you're going to, if you do it, because that's the key. When he says, I'm going to tell you how to go back and get that love, Ephesus, that you left. I'm going to tell you how to go back and get it. Go do what you did to get it. Just go do what you did to get it. And you know, when I see people filled with passion, when young kitty comes to the piano, you know, what I like about what happens on Sunday morning is that we've done this for a lot of years, haven't we, Kitty? And she'll come up to the piano. And that, see, you think like we got this thing planned out. But we don't. Every now and then I'll call her. I'll maybe do this about once a year, maybe once every 6 months. And I'll say, at the end of the message, I want you to play this song. But see, what you hear is not somebody who's just good, but who's passionate. And she really sometimes doesn't know what she's going to until she gets up there and the passion starts to flow. And then when she gets the passion to flowing through her fingers, she gets me riled up again. And that's why a lot of times I go about 10. When you think I'm closing, I'm just not. But it'd be something, the passion of that gives me more passion. And remind me of some stuff to tell you some stuff. And when I was listening to these guys, aren't you glad they do it like they like it? Aren't you glad they do it with passion? You think we could be a little more persuasive of people when we invite them to a banquet? Do you think we could be just a little more excited about it? Don't you think you could be a little more persuasive if you really told them more than just, I'm going to go to church with them Sunday morning. Yeah, man, I do. I'm glad. I've been hoping you're going to ask me. Sure, I love to go to church with you Sunday morning. Now, you want to come to a party? You want to come to a banquet? You want to come to a place where people are filled with light and love and compassion and passion? Don't you want to be around some folks that encourage you and lift you up and build you up and not tear you down? Don't you want to come feel the presence and the power of an awesome, holy, wonderful God? Don't you want to sense that, feel that? Don't you want to be a part of that? Isn't that a whole lot more exciting than, you want to go to church with me Sunday morning? Isn't that a lot more exciting? Yeah. Isn't he really an awesome, awesome God? I worried about Jet when he started school. Oh, my gosh. I didn't tell you. I didn't tell Barbara. I didn't want to worry about nobody. I was worried. I was going, this kid's too much like me. I just don't know if he's... The other two were so smart. And I'm saying all this inside. I just don't think he's going to be that smart. I think he's too much like me. He's going to sit in that classroom like I did. And I would sit in the classroom and look out the windows, and I see cars and trucks. And all I want to do is get out of there and get in the car. I see a taxi cab come by, and I go, God, what a job. Man, I'd love to be in that taxi cab going picking people up. God, what? And I got to sit here. I see a trash truck come by. Got on the back. I go, what a job. You stand on the back of a trash truck and ride around town. What a job. I thought, what a job. You know what? All those things still excite me. I have a commitment to trash men. I do. Every time I see a trash truck, I don't care, I wave. I'll never go by them without waving. Because, number one, I appreciate what they're doing. And I remember as a little boy, you can have passion for anything. You just got to have, you just got, what you do, you do it with, but somebody said this, it's in the Bible, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Don't act like you don't want to do it. Whatever you find to do, do it with all your might. Do it with passion. Do it with. Well, how do you do it with? You want to know how? Do this. Just do that. Come on, somebody do that. It's amazing. You want to be happy? Smile. Smile. Do it. He said, the way you get your passion back is go back and do what you did to get it, because you ain't lost it, you just left it. You know why some people have a passion for exercise? Because they do it. Let them stop doing it, I'll testify to that. you lose your passion because you're not doing it anymore. Just do it. Somebody made a whole lot of money off that. Just do it. Somebody made a whole, I'm talking gazillions of dollars. Just say, do it. Do it. You know how many people bought shoes just because it said, do it? Just do it. You'll be amazed at what will start reviving in your life. All of a sudden. Do you know you can go long enough without eating that you really won't have a heart and a passion to eat anymore? Do you know your hunger pains will go away? You won't be hungry. That's why he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. You know why some of you are thinking about lunch? Because you ate breakfast. And you got that thing in the body. I'm not a doctor, but something happens when you eat. I found out this, the more you eat, the more you want to eat over the course of time. And so the more you read, the more you pray, the more you praise, the more you say it, the more you do it, the more you're going to love it. Stand together. I want you to do something for me this morning. Eldership's coming. We're going to receive communion together. But before we do that, you guys can be coming on, getting in the place to receive it. I hope you remember how to come down with the new seating. Don't run over each other. You're here and you know. And this is between you and God, okay? It's not between you and me and God or you, us and God. It's just you and God. So I just want you to do this. But you in your heart of hearts, you know that you've lost or you've left your passion for Him, for the work. You just know in here, I've walked away from that. And I want it back. I want it back. God wants it back more than you want it back. He wants you to want it more than you even want it. And then won't anything happen in life that's worth anything without a driving, passionate person who's doing it because they love it and they got passion for it. Passion for it. It was several years ago. I can't remember exactly when it was, maybe 7-8 years ago, something like that. Barbara only speaks into my life like this every blue moon, whatever long that is, but she's very sensitive about the ministry and she don't speak into my life very often. But when she sees something missing, she speaks up. And I didn't like it. She looked at me one Monday morning and she said, you have lost your passion. And man, it hurt. Because I've based my whole life on doing this. And if my wife tells me I've lost my passion, I'm not doing it like I used to do it and could do it. And it hurt. Oh, I didn't, Calvin, go, well, thank you, darling. Really loved that word to me. I really, really appreciate it. I couldn't say anything. I really was mad. Tell me I lost my passion. On the way to work, Will, all the way here, I just kept, you know she's right. You know she's right. You know she's right. I didn't say, God, give me back my passion. You can ask Him all you want. You're not going to get it. I wish it was that easy. Wish I could just say, God, give me back my passion. And whoo, on fire again. Ain't that easy, is it, Calvin? Ain't that easy. And I went in my office. I opened up looked at my books and I started looking at different ones and I said, I'm going to read more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to get back to that. I put you down. I shouldn't have put you down the other week. I'm going to pick that back up. I'm going to pick that one back up. And I filled that desk one more time with the things that burn in my heart and give me passion. And I got passionate again just going back and doing what I did to be passionate. It's that simple. Just go back and do some stuff again. You'll be amazed what'll happen, what'll start going up. So if God's spoken to you this morning about that, then as you come and receive your elements and go back to your seat, I want you to just say in your heart of hearts, I've lost mine, but I'm going to get it back. And I can't ask God to give it to me. It just doesn't happen that way. I got to do some stuff. So I'm determined to do the things that I did at the first to get my passion going. Amen? So as you come and receive your elements, just let that work in your heart over and over and over again. Okay, just go out this way around. Everybody to the left. Go to your left. Scripture in the Old Testament where it was standing in a palace and leader was told, said, I want you to take your arrows and smite the ground. And that will determine how victorious you're going to be over your enemies. So he took the arrows and he just struck the ground. The prophet looked at him and said, that's how victorious you're going to be. He said, you should have took those arrows and smote the ground like you meant it. You should have did it with some passion. He said, but because you're not doing it with passion, you're not going to see the victory that you would have seen if you'd done it with passion. Aren't you glad our Lord was passionate? Passionate about this kingdom stuff. You find your life when you lose your life. And you lose your life when you find it. But if you'll lose it for the kingdom, you'll find it. The blood of Christ for remission of our sins. Lord, today we make a commitment to you, to one another. We want to seek passion in our lives burn with fervency. We want to see this church continue to grow in such a passionate way that we are irresistible, that people are compelled to come into the banquet house. Amen. To come to the banquet house. Amen.
You may be seated. Within your bulletin was a flyer. I hope you got that flyer. Our Thanks and Giving Dinner will be taking place on the 16th of this month. We transformed the sanctuary here into our dining area, and we need your help with that. I still need 6 people to cook a turkey that week and bring it in warm that evening. So I provide the turkey for you. All you have to do is commit to doing that. On your connection cards, all of these things are there that you can volunteer for. The following week, we still need 10 people to cook a turkey for the poor and needy. We're responsible for cooking 15 of those. But that evening is just a great evening. You come, eat a turkey meal, you watch a family feud, you're going to see people's families intertwined. You didn't realize they were related to one another. All those O'Neill, Couch, Tice, Brooks family, they're all intertwined and related, and the Kendricks, Phillip, Langs, and Cheney family. You're going to see them on stage having a blast and making a fool. I mean, they really wouldn't do that. Having a great time. So you don't want to miss that. We have committed to 67 Angel Tree children that we're providing a gift for from their incarcerated parent. So we will be doing, I will give you more information about when that is going to take place. But we are in the process of verifying those. Our Thanks and Giving meal is when we're at all of the donations that come in that evening. There's no cost to the meal, but all of the donations that come in are going to go towards that. So we're looking for about $1,250 to come in that evening. If that takes place, then you don't even have to go and buy a gift. they can be taken care of. So we're looking forward to that. The other thing that we are taking on this year is for Rushton Hope, we are taking on collecting razors and bars of soap. So next time you go to the grocery store, we will have a place out here that you can come in and drop razors and bars of soap that you would like to donate and give to that. So making a difference in the lives of people within our community. So I think that was everything I needed to get across. Also, if you can cook a dessert for a Thanksgiving meal, the ladies' ministry is working hard to get that word out, but they need help from everybody. So whatever that dessert might be, bring that. Let's pray. Ushers, anytime I start talking about that, you should be just coming on down. Thank you for your faithfulness to the house of God, bringing your tithes, your offerings, your alms. We are able to do what we do within the community, Rushton Hope, supporting the Spalding Samaritans, the food pantry, because that you give and give to those areas. So thank you so much for that. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to the house of God. We can bring our first fruits. Lord, we can, Lord, allow our lives to be used in giving and serving. In Jesus' name, we pray. If for whatever reason you have not, you have a prayer need or would like to be prayed for, I'm going to have Pastor Joey over here to the side by the piano, and Pastor Donnie is going to be over here if he will be ready to pray with you if you would like to do that or need that. And then those that are coming to the prospective member lunch wanting information about Eagles Way Church, that will be right after the service up in the youth building. Let's stand and let's worship.
What fortune lies beyond the stars? There's dazzling heights too vast to climb. Got so high to fall so far, but I found heaven as love swept me. My heart beating, my soul breathing. I found my life when I laid it down. Upward falling, spirit soaring. I touched the sky.
touch the sky? Will my knees hit the ground?
Y'all have a good week.